dedicated to preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God from all of God's inerrant word, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
A pastor once received a letter from a woman describing her struggle in the home with her husband. She writes, "The kids are in bed. There's nothing on TV tonight. I ask my husband if he minds if I turn off the tube. He grunts. As I walk to the set, my mind is racing. Maybe tonight we will talk. I mean, have a conversation that consists of more than my usual question or his mumbled one-word answer or no answer at all. I interject something that he would never do at work if he is to climb the ladder of success. Silence. I live in a world of continuous noise, but between him and me, silence. Please, oh God, let him open up. I initiate again for the 1,000th time. My heart pounds. Oh, how can I word it this time? What can I say that will open the door to just talk? I don't have to have a deep, meaningful conversation, just something. As I open my mouth, he gets up and goes to the bedroom. The door closes behind him. The light showing under the door gives way to darkness, and so goes my hope. I sit alone on the couch. My heart begins to ache. I'm tired of being alone. Hey, I'm married. I've been married for years. Why do I sit alone? The sadness undergoes through a change slowly, and then through increased fervor, I get mad. I am mad. I am sick and tired of living with a sissy, a coward. You know he's afraid of me. Hostile, you better believe it. I'm sick and tired of living in a world of passive men." And she goes on to describe in this letter how dad never plays with the children, but he has time for golf, four-wheeling, and everything else. She closes the letter by saying, "Worst of all, this is the same thing his father did to him." Well, we're thankful you've taken time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio today. We are tackling a new series on marriage and the family. We have Pastor Mike Brown with us of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And again, you can download all these podcasts, find everything free of charge there at the website agradio.org. Maps to churches and many resources there for you. Well, Mike, what a challenging subject today to take up in our day where it seems that the home is in shambles. I think the going statistic still is that half of marriages end up in divorce. We see children with a lot of pain today. You know, where do we even begin to tackle this great subject as pastors and help people through what the design should be? What did God, you know, design from the beginning? How do we begin in helping people through this mess today that people are experiencing in the family?
You're right, Chris. Sadly, we live in a day and age when the family is broken and shattered. It's very common for kids to grow up with divorced parents and almost two sets of parents. And where do we look at, what do we need to look at in order to get our bearings with regard to the family? We need to start with creation. We need to go back to the opening chapters of the Bible and see what God had intended for marriage and family. You know, one of the problems, it seems to me, is that in our day and age, we try to define what marriage and family should look like according to our own opinions. But we need to remember that God is the inventor of marriage and family, and he has revealed something about that. And he does that to begin with in the opening chapters of Genesis.
Right. And this is going to be really helpful to go back and look at God's design, which is going to require from people today, from us as pastors, from anyone listening, you know, to really think about some of the cultural shifts and things that have happened that really do challenge this design and some of the demonic influences that have happened in our day that really have assaulted God's design from the beginning. And you know, Mike, when we come to Genesis chapters 1 and 2, you know, we read this statement. I think it's helpful to say up front that God made everything good.
Right.
God was pleased with his design. This was the right design. It was the healthy design. And when we come to the sixth day, we have, you know, this description of him forming the man, creating the man, mm-hmm. became a living being. And then it's fascinating that there was one aspect, if you will. It's a really shocking statement in Genesis. The shocking thing is that there was something that was not good.
Right. There's one negative evaluation.
Every
evaluation he gives of the sun, the moon, the stars, everything is, and God saw and it was good. But then there's one thing where he says it was not good.
Right. And it's this statement in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. And Adam gave them names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him." Now, what God is doing for us is helping us to understand that something needed to be completed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is important. Adam needed to understand that. And we can almost imagine this scene where all these animals are passing by Adam and he's noticing the differences of male and female, male mm-hmm. and female. And he needed to understand himself that there was something that needed to be completed, that he had a need, and that the Lord was going to supply that need. And so he's teaching Adam here that very thing.
That's right. Yeah. It's not that God made something deficient. God doesn't make anything deficient. But when he said it is not good for the man to be alone, he was simply underscoring the fact that Adam's creation, if you will, was incomplete without his spouse, without his wife. And so that's why he makes the woman, Eve, to be a compatible mate for him. And this is where we see marriage and family begin.
Right, exactly. And so what does the Lord do for Adam? Well, and this is important to say, we're going to be weaving through all of this, the challenges that we face today and the effects that the fall has brought upon our relationships, our marriage relationships. You know, one of the real tendencies, Mike, we know as men is that we love to be alone. As sinners, we want to do things our own self. We want to, you know, everyone is seeking to do as men their own kind of pursuit in life. And this idea of companionship now we fight against.
Sure.
It is something we've seen play out. But notice here from the beginning, the Lord is saying that we were designed, and it wasn't that Adam was some kind of separate. He was designed to be married.
Right.
That's important to say.
Yeah. And when we think about that design, it's important to understand that Adam is created in the image of God. All humans are. We bear God's image. That means that we are to reproduce his holy ways at our own creaturely level. And this has to do with the need for companionship, because think about God. God is one, and yet he is three persons, Father, Son, Holy mm-hmm. Spirit. And he has perfect companionship within himself amongst his persons. He expresses perfect love toward his persons, one to another.
Right.
Now, being created in the image of God, we are in need of companionship, and we could even say community. I know we often like to be alone and go get off alone, and there are times when it's good to be alone, but man can't live that way. It takes two people to make a person, and you have to be brought up in a family. You have to be nurtured by a mother, and you need a father, and you need a family and a community. We just know that as human beings. We don't find ourselves in ourselves, but really in the love that we have for one another. And so God has made us this way, and it's necessary to our being. And that's what he is highlighting here in chapter 1 and 2 as he's showing, revealing to us Adam's need for a mate.
Right. That's really helpful. And I do think, an understanding of the Trinity is very helpful here, and something that, you know, we should study more and look at this design in light of that. I think that's incredibly helpful. Notice what the Lord does here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore," here's the conclusion, "a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh."
Right.
There's the design. So God causes this sleep to fall, and he brings them, takes the woman from the man. She's taken from him. And then what does he do? As Adam sees this woman, he is filled with excitement.
Sure.
You know, every kind of wedding that you and I have ever done, Mike, as pastors, you know, everything looks so beautiful, and the bride is, you know, painted up nice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the groom is standing there. And, you know, I always say at a wedding, you know, look at this design. Look at the beauty of this. Now, I know all of you are looking at this, wishing your marriages still look like this. But, you know, the fact is, this is the beautiful design of the Lord.
Right.
This is how Adam felt when he looked at his wife. Look at what God gave me. And there was love. There was intimacy.
Right.
There was beauty to this.
Right. And then and she is a part of him. Coming together as the two of them become one. His name in the Hebrew is Ish. Her name is Isha, man, woman. And so the two are to become one. As one English Puritan put it, a man's children are pieces of himself, but a man's wife is himself. The two become one. That's God's design.
Right. It's a beautiful design. And notice then, Mike, if we ask the basic question then, what is marriage and what was the intended purpose from the beginning? How would you answer that to someone who's listening to that?
Right. Yeah. Well, we would have to define it the way God defines it here. It's a covenant relationship between one man and one woman that involves the most intimate type of relationship. It's one with body and body and soul and soul. There is to be sexual intimacy. There's also to be companionship. These are to be two people who go on through the pilgrimage of life together in mutual service and in mutual love. And that doesn't always look as beautiful and as pretty as, you know, the rom-coms put it, the romantic comedies and novels, because we do live in a fallen world and we are selfish, we are sinful. And so sometimes it is a challenge and it's frustrating. However, this is God's design. And isn't it interesting, Chris, how by and large in our culture, even in our world filled with divorce and infidelity and adultery and all of these futile romantic pursuits, that people still know that this is right, that this is good. I mean, how many movies do you watch that are the screenplay was written not even by a Christian, and somehow the resolution in the movie is two people getting together and getting married? It's as if we still know deep in our hearts that this is the way it's supposed to be, is one man and one woman coming together in this covenant relationship where there is body with body, soul with soul, and promises are made to one another to pledge each other's undying loyalty to the other partner. That is what marriage is.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what year those movies were made. You know, today we're facing the challenge, and this is hard, you know, because today there have been so many pushes, societal pushes, cultural pushes, to try to redefine this and to try to tell us that, you know, hey, it's okay for it to be men with men and women with women. And, you know, as much as this pressure is building and as great as it has come upon us, listen, we can't say anything different than what the scriptures say about this design. It is a design between a man and a woman.
That's right.
And this is what God has joined together. He did not join together two men. Our own anatomy tells us that. This is important to say today because one of the things that the scriptures teach is that rebellion against God is a rebellion against his good design. And right. So what we're seeing today happen and play out in front of us, we should really just say it for what it is. It's rebellion against God.
Right.
And we don't want to see that. We say that in love. We say that in care. We don't want to see that. We want to see people enjoy the good design that God has given. This is something that honors him when it's done in faith and believed. And as we trust him and see what he's doing and what he's designed as we go forward with this, this is his, what he gave for our human good.
Right.
And we need to be reminded of that.
Yeah. And also we need to be reminded that a marriage is supposed to have a covenant commitment to it. You know, a lot of people will say, well, I love my partner or I love my boyfriend or my girlfriend or whomever so much. What does a piece of paper mean? And we need to understand that this legally binding relationship where you have these responsibilities that you take up for one another is what undergirds the whole marriage relationship.
Right.
That's what allows this to be flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. Otherwise, you can just bail out at any time when the going gets tough. And so God brings together Adam and the woman to be one, and he binds them together in this covenant relationship where there are mutual oaths and promises that are made.
I think that's really helpful to and especially what you just emphasized, that God has joined this together. We don't look at marriage that way today. You remember when Jesus was tested in his day about marriage, and the first thing he said is, "What God has joined together, mm-hmm. let not man separate."
That's right.
You know, we need to say that when, and you're absolutely right, Mike, when we enter into this, we are making promises.
Right.
Promises before God that as he has joined us together, we are going to be committed to that relationship.
Right.
And I always tell people who come before, you know, before me to ask me to do a wedding that, listen, you're promising before God, this is till death do
that's right.
us part.
That's right.
And that's lost today.
That's right. That's something, same thing. In premarital counseling, we have to make that really, this is such an important decision you're making. This is an irremovable tattoo that you're getting, so to speak.
Right.
There's no bailout button. And we can talk about that later, about what is biblically permissible for divorce. But the bottom line is this. The marriage that we have, as Paul points out in Ephesians 5, illustrates Christ's relationship with the church. So just as the man loves his woman, loves the wife, that is illustrating Christ's love for the church and the church's submission to Christ. Well, if we translate that to our marriages, it means this. When Christ gives up on his church, we can give up on our marriages. So it doesn't follow that just because things get tough or I feel like I fell out of love that I'm just to get a divorce. Nowhere to continue on with the covenant relationship. And then what you find, interestingly, is that in working through the difficulties and the troubles, one actually has a far more meaningful relationship with his spouse or her spouse.
Right.
By staying committed to that covenant of marriage, knowing that they took these vows before God and his people. And that's what it's supposed to be.
Right. And so we're really looking at when God, you know, Adam's looking at his wife and he's saying, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she's taken out of man. He understands God has formed this woman for him. The scriptures teach he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The Lord did something wonderful mm-hmm. for bringing this companionship together. And then it's built on this relationship of mutual trust and love. And that's right. What we're really emphasizing here, the importance of love. Now, what you see in Hollywood today is you're not seeing love. You're seeing lust. You're seeing infatuation. It's built on the wrong dynamic. And what happens then is as soon as the lust is gone, the marriage dissolves. There's nothing to hold it together. They've been through fulfilling that lust that drove them together. Well, notice how different the scriptures speak about the love that we are to have. And I really think you're right. This is going to be the whole thrust of the whole discussion. It's motivated by what we understand of the love of Christ,
mm-hmm.
a love that is committed, a love that demonstrates servant love. He became a servant giving his life for his bride. Well, that's 1 Corinthians 13. When you read 1 Corinthians 13, Notice how everything about love is so antithetical to how our society understands it today. Love suffers long. Well, that doesn't happen in our society today. We get offended, we're gone. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. And this is the last part that always gets me. Bears all things, mm-hmm. believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Mm-hmm. It's not love to abandon. It's love that love is expressed when it's committed love sacrificially.
Right. Right. Yeah. And again, I think that there are even non-Christians who understand a little bit of that, because why do people stay married? I mean, we all know non-believers who have fairly decent marriages and sometimes even have better marriages than believers. Why is that? Because there's a certain amount of this that is still written on the human heart. Remember that this was designed by God before the fall. That means that it's for everyone. It's for marriage is for everyone, not just for the Christian. This is not does not have a redemptive purpose to it, but it's something that is very human, that was designed for God's image bearers. And then the non-believer can even understand a little bit of that, that, right. You know what? In order for us to have a good marriage, we got to endure. We're going to have to, and so maybe you need counseling. Maybe you need to go and get some advice when you hit hard times, because you're going to hit them. If you simply have a marital relationship based on emotion, based on infatuation or romance or lust, just as you said, Chris, as soon as that fog burns away, what have you got? Nothing. You have to have a covenant commitment, a relationship that is legally binding, undergirding you, so that in a sense you're saying, okay, the field has been set, the clock has started, now we're playing the game. And there's no getting out of this. We have to go forward and play the game, and we got to abide by the rules, just as you would do in a game. That's exactly what we do in marriage.
Now, we understand that there may be single people here who are called to that. And we understand that that is an exception to the general rule. And if you have that exception, then you can serve God in that way. That needs to be said. But this is the design for humanity.
For human beings.
And yeah. And we need to say that. This is how we procreate. This mm-hmm. is how society continues to go forward. And, you know, it is true that even though a non-believer has a general understanding of this, and since he has some light still in him, he can enjoy this. The beautiful thing about the Christian's marriage is now being redeemed. We understand, and mm-hmm. having redeemed minds, we understand what this is designed to reflect,
right.
which the unbeliever has no clue of. And
right.
so we understand that now, experiencing and receiving the love of Christ, and he's now taught us what that love looks like. That's mm-hmm. what he says, a new commandment I give to you. It's not that it was ever new. It's that he has showed us love.
Right.
Now he's saying you can demonstrate that visually in your marriages. So that means, Mike, that the Christian's marriage is telling the story of the Christian gospel.
Yeah, or at least we hope it is.
Yeah, well,
it should be.
That's the goal.
Yeah, it should be. There should be forgiveness. There should be bearing with one another, just as Christ has forgiven his church and bears with his church and serves and blesses his church. That is what the Christian husband is to be doing with his wife.
And it's beautiful. You know, you and I have probably seen this over the years when a couple's been married 60 years
mm-hmm.
and that love is stronger than when they were the day they first were married. That
right.
That's a exemplary model and witness of the love of Christ filling that couple. Next time, Mike, we're going to tackle now looking at the effects of the fall on the marriage. What happened to the man? What happened to the woman? And I there's going to be a lot to say with regard
sure.
to that, right?
Sure.
But we'll look at that next time, Genesis chapter 3, and look at what that brings. But I guess it's just important to say, concluding thought to encourage anyone in their marriages today, what would you say to someone who's struggling with their marriage?
I would say, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the key. Look at what he has done for his bride, the church, and that is what our marriages are to be. You can't find the strength in yourself to be the perfect spouse, or even sometimes to forgive or bear with. We need to find that strength in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit he supplies. So look to him. It's really about our relationship with God.
Well, we're thankful you have taken time today to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. As always, you can go to the website at agradio.org to explore that website, to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Many resources there for you. So again, visit the website at agradio.org. Always thankful to have Mike Brown here as we tackle these important issues for the Christian life. Thanks for tuning into Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in all of its glory, continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.
It's hard to find teaching today that is gospel-centered and Christ-glorifying. This is our goal here at Abounding Grace Radio. We are a Christian radio broadcasting ministry committed to historic Protestant Reformation theology and the message of salvation by grace alone through faith alone. We teach the gospel of Jesus Christ from all of Scripture as a witness to those who do not believe and to strengthen believers in the truth of God's Word. At Abounding Grace Radio, we desire that all listeners would come to know the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we give ourselves each and every day to bring this radio broadcast to you. We invite you to go to our website at agradio.org. To learn more about who we are and what we believe, all of these programs are there in podcast format for you for download for free. We would love to hear from you. We remind you that we are a listener-supported program. We are very thankful for any prayerful and financial support and would like you to know that any support that you give will go to the cost of the program. We are very thankful always to have this opportunity to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. If this has been a blessing to you, do please write to us. Our address is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Well, thanks for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. May this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.